How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Bleach Thousand Blood War Part 3 is officially back, which really is episode 27, just so everybody's 27. Counting. We are back. The Bleach boys are back in action. We're talking all things. It was such an insane day for Bleach today. There was so much stuff coming out. The first episode of Core 3 came out. We got we've had the opening from the day before. We got to see the ending for the very first time. We got a 20th anniversary preview, like a whole movie, which reanimated a lot of the core fights that Ichigo had. We had the opening intro for the Bleach Rebirth of Souls, the video game, came out as well. There's so much content to talk about. There was multiple interviews that came out that Pisces actually sent me one. So I got a little tidbit from an interview with Marita and Sugiyama, which is Uryu and Ichigo. So much to talk about. So little time. Welcome back to Bleach Boys, guys. Let's kick right into it. Yeah. Now, I want to go chronological order here. Mm-hmm. We're going to start with the episode and then we'll move to the additional stuff in that fashion. Let's talk about the opening. Let's talk about Bleach Thousand Year Blood Wars Core 3 opening. I'm going to be negative into a positive here.
Okay.
I did not like... I'm going to soften it. I wasn't a fan of the first two openings.
Okay.
I wasn't a fan of the first two endings. I thought the opening and I thought the ending for this part was incredible.
I agree. I very much love the opening and the ending for this one.
I enjoyed both very, very much. I think the opening I liked more than the ending, but the ending I liked for a different reason, and I'll touch on it when we get there.
Sam, I'm not going to be soft. I thought the first two openings were garbage, and I hate them.
Damn, okay.
I am a big fan of buying anime songs as soon as they're available so I can listen to them on my own time. I have not even glanced at these after I stopped watching.
That's fair. Now, Pythies, the world wants to know, what is your opinion on Core 3?
No, this is a banger. I'm going to buy it as soon as it comes out.
I think it's already out.
I think this one nailed the feeling of Bleach to me, where I feel like the other ones just, they didn't hit like the OG reminiscing Bleach intros and outros. I think this nailed it.
Because the old Bleach ones just came in and just hit you right away from the beginning.
And it was just like, it was upbeat. It was a lot of action. Not to say that they can't ever have one that's not upbeat, but it's like, it just didn't hit the vibe. And I feel like this one nailed it. The aesthetics of it was incredibly cool. I had such a good time. And I have to give a special shout out. The fucking Grimmjow and Asken, Tom and Jerry scene in the fucking intro
100%.
Cracks me up every time 100%. I see it. I love that scene in the
intro. I remember
seeing
it for the first time and just cracking up.
It is so funny. Now, I will say, and we're going to double back on this. I think the opening movie was filled with spoilers.
Oh, 100% spoilers.
Absolutely. I'm going to give it a pass. Normally how I watch anime, I will literally not watch the opening of an anime if I'm watching it like for the first time ever. Let's say I'm going to give an example. I'm watching Hitman Reborn. It's got like 18 openings in it. I see it switches openings. I will skip past that opening until I see it swap openings again, and then I will go back and I'll watch the last one.
Oh.
Because I'm so
afraid of spoilers.
Spoiler adverse. Or I used to be. I'm not so much anymore. I'll see whatever I want. I get the spoilers for the Bleach episode before I even get to watch it. I will totally watch that once the next one changes. This one, I think I try to view it from the point of, if I was a first time anime watcher, what would I take away from that? And actually, when I was doing stay tuned every Saturday now, I'm trying to watch the episode live with you guys. Mm-hmm. So if you guys aren't following us on Twitter, Instagram, any of our socials, make sure you are, because every Saturday you can watch the episode live with me. That being said, one of the viewers in there was an anime only watcher. And we were talking about it, and I gave the same spiel that I think it does spoil a lot, but I think it does it in a very smooth way where it doesn't spoil what the outcome of these things are. It shows you what's going to happen, but it doesn't show you like an example. It doesn't show you like someone's death.
Yeah.
But it's like, look at this fight. Oh, this fight's going to happen. Oh, look at this fight. Now, there's an exception to this. I think the most egregious spoiler that they showed in this opening, Nanao Zanpakuto. I don't think they should have showed that.
100%. I was so upset when I saw that too.
That is big spoilers. I don't think they should have showed that. It was a very cool part of the opening when it goes all rainbow. And I was like, oh, dang, all right. But they shouldn't have shown that. That's the only time that I think they went too far. Otherwise, I thought it was very tasteful spoilers. I thought I was very happy with what they were showing in there. And I was like, okay, cool. I like it. I dig it. And then I saw it in Amazon Python. I was like, oh, that's brutal.
They went from like soft, like, you know, just giving you a nice softball cruise to just straight up hitting it to a home run.
I would also give my, you know, vice president nominee for the they shouldn't have shown it to Aizen. But I get why they would show Aizen. I get it.
Yep. Makes sense.
So they show Aizen at the end of the episode.
Yeah, whereas if you think about it like that, right, it's like it's the first episode, it's the opening, it has to represent the whole core, and then at the end of the very first episode, we see Aizen anyways, so it's not like it was like a long-held secret that was going to happen, and we've seen him multiple times through the first and second core, I think just the first core, so we knew he was going to, you know, reappear.
He was
going to
be a player
point.
At some point.
We knew he was being set up, so I don't think that's the biggest loss, but I do think Nanao Zanbakuto is pretty irredeemable.
I'm going to play devil's advocate and say probably from the point of view of an anime watcher or even people that know nothing about Bleach, but they're just starting with this because it's the new hotness. It's just a scene of a lady holding a pretty rainbow-looking thing.
But do you think it would create hype for them, though? Like, they'd be like, oh my god, we've never seen her Zanpakuto. Like, what the fuck?
I feel like a lot of people will look at her and go, who is that?
Yeah, she hasn't had too many key parts.
That's
so
very true. I agree.
And also, it doesn't reveal anything about what the Zanpakuto is, to say it nicely. So, I think they beat around the bush just enough, but they still showed, like, hey, these things are coming. And if you're like a manga reader, like, oh, yeah.
Everyone's
oh, yeah,
excited
like,
for this because we know what's up.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be very good.
Well, let's circle back to the part that I got so hyped for. I wrote it down. I'm going to read verbatim from my notes. Oh my god, Graham Giles in the opening. Jose is nutting right now.
I did, dude. Oh my god. When Sam posted that it was already out, I went and watched it immediately.
So
first
good.
Thing I saw was Graham Giles just running through there. And I was like, why is this too fucking funny?
So funny.
It's just
so funny.
This little like thing run and then just Graham Giles with that big menacing smile.
Yeah, just like chasing his ass down. It was so good. Ugh. I thought they nailed the aesthetic of the opening. The aesthetic 100%. Of the opening was so good. They have. And I gotta say, like, honestly, I'm gonna talk about this as the episode goes on further. The animation for the whole episode was so good. So good. Some of the camera movements they were doing in the episode was insane.
Yes. Oh my fucking god.
The word you're looking for is crisp.
Yeah, it was crisp.
Crisp.
That is 100% facts.
I am sad about one thing. One thing the last core's opening had that this doesn't. It does not have Yuha Baha declaring Battle City like it did the last time.
Yeah, that's true.
That's such true. A shame
damn
we missed
it.
That one. Damn.
So I can't really like this as much as I could have. Someone who edits videos, just put that scene right at the beginning, just that clip, and I'll be good.
The Battle City starts.
Okay, do we want to head into the official episode now? We all pleased with the opening? We all happy?
Yeah, very happy. You want me to tell you how I started my morning?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, hit it up.
Please do.
So what? It premiered at 7:30 a.m., right?
It did. Here?
Yep.
So knowing that, I know my wife likes to usually come down and watch TV until I, you know, kick her off so I can watch Bleach.
Yeah.
So I woke up early. She was still asleep. I went downstairs. I pulled myself a big bowl of cereal. I had all the rest of the milk. So I filled the rest of the milk up. I went and sat down, and I'm like, shit, I know she wanted milk.
Oh, yeah, so that's a tragedy, dog. That's a tragedy.
I did not say anything. I just, you know, I enjoyed my show. Then I went back to sleep and I pretended like she drank the rest of the milk the night before.
Now, what are the odds that she sees this?
If it isn't cut into a clip,
she's not going to see it.
Oh, yeah, right, she won't see it.
She's not going to see it. All right. Guys, that's a secret between the boys. Okay, nobody repeat that. That's a secret between the boys. That's a great strategy. Jose. You should put a little bit of water in there just to make it look a little diluted.
Dude, okay, so I thought about it and I was just like, so I wrote it down on the, we have a little like grocery list.
Okay, yeah.
And so I wrote it down, making it look like it was yesterday's grocery list. And I'm like, hey, we need more milk.
Jose.
So she went downstairs, poured herself a bowl. There was no milk.
Oh, I'm that's
like,
brutal.
I'm like, hey, I told you.
That makes me so mad. That makes me so mad.
Actually, I was like, I told you. I'm so sorry.
Oh, fuck.
Okay, all so right, how long until Sam sends this clip to her?
I hope she doesn't, because we did buy milk today.
That's
so
a secret.
She wouldn't be
boys,
too mad.
Jose. I would never do that. I would never do that.
I also have to say, Sam, you are fast. Like, as soon as I saw Grim Gem in the opening, I was like, I gotta tell Jose. Oh, shit, Sam did it already?
I was just like, damn, dude, we didn't even get to, like, see the cool reveal where he just steps through
the
Garganta.
I was zooming, man. I was zooming. Because it's, like, it's tough with my work schedule. It's so tough. But I'm lucky because now I'm at the managerial level. I have a managerial office.
That's right.
So a lot of times I'm left alone, or at least, like, people are just walking right by me. So I'm in there, and I'm air quotes working, but then I'm watching the opening on my phone really quick, and I'm like taking screenshots and sending it over. It was a blast. It was a great time.
I mean, you're a psychopath that watched it yesterday.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I did the same thing. As soon as he said it's out, I didn't open up Discord. I just saw the, oh my God, Jose, your boy.
I have no shame. It was a banger. Yeah. I have no shame. It was a banger, and I wasn't going to wait a whole day to watch it.
I refused. I had trouble scrolling through TikTok not getting spoiled.
Yeah, it was so good. And if you guys haven't, listen, let me fill you in on a secret. And this is for the boys out there. We have a Patreon exclusive Discord channel that we were talking about the opening live time with our only, we only have one Patreon member right now, and he's captain level Patreon. He
straight up went into a captain.
PV, the GOAT.
Thank you, PV.
He's the only one that's in there right now. He's the only one that got to see our live reactions to the opening, and that's where I immediately spoiled for Jose that Grim Joe was in there.
So, I was just like, I have to see the rest. I have to make sure.
I made Jose make sure he was in the Discord channel, and then I added him into my Grim Joe in there. So if you would like to have that experience, join our Patreon. Link in the description down below. Okay, with that, let's talk about the beginning of episode 27, which is a recap for about 7 minutes. Mm-hmm. Actually, I did check the new content for the episode starts at 9 minutes on the dot is when it flips over to like those middle of the episode screens.
Oh, when we get the eye
catchers. If we subtract about a minute 40, it comes out to like 7 minutes and 20 seconds, what it came out to be of recap. Now, I have two notes for the recap. One, they did weave in like a new scene with Ichigo and everybody kind of talking about Ichibe and stuff like that. They did throw a new scene in there. Someone in my chat while we were watching it said that this all of the content that was shown in the recap is actually the Blu-ray content from Thousand Year Blood War Core 2's release. So a lot of it was touched up to make it look a little bit nicer and a little bit cleaner, which is also very cool. And I also loved that they had like a rock opera version of a lot of the music playing during the recap. I was like, oh, fuck, like we banging. Okay. I was like, I like this. The music through the whole episode was incredible, which always is for Bleach. So good.
So good. One of the best OSTs around.
I don't have much to say about the recap. It is what it is. I knew it was going to happen. I think this was very much setting up this should have been the finale that happened in the last four.
Sorry, guys. Here you go.
Like, let's get you back up to speed with how the fight was going. We're gonna pick up right from where it left off, because it was so abrupt, so abrupt. And even when it stops, like, and it cuts to the mid-episode scene, it's like, man, okay, all right, like, we're going back to the new content, I guess. You can tell clearly that it's like, this should have been. And also, I've read the manga chapters before I watched this as well. And when I read the manga, I was like, I forgot how fucking fast Ichibei gets blasted right after that happens. That was crazy fast. Like, and now that I think about that, that is insane to me that that's where they stopped for Core 2. Like, right at the cusp. That is insane.
Damn, did you remember last season when I was talking to you about how hard Squad Zero got jobbed out? You see it now.
Yeah, I was reading it, and like, you see it. It's not even until after Ichibei dies in the manga, by the way, that they show Squad Zero all defeated. And like, for the last probably, I don't know, two scenes or whatever of the Ichibei versus Yuha fight, Yugram and Udi are just watching. They're just watching the fight from up top, just
watching it happen.
And then they show the Squad Zero members defeated. I'm like, that is incredible. That is incredible that that's the last we saw of them in the manga.
It was real rough. So the anime did them so much more justice than none at all.
I saw this great meme about how Squad Zero is in the anime, where it's the classic, like, somebody walking and they step on the rake and the rake comes up and hits their face. And
smacks them.
It's like, that's the manga version of Squad Zero. And then they showed, here's the anime version of Squad Zero, where somebody, like, skateboarding and doing, like, a cool kickflip down the stairs. And they land on the ground and they still hit the same rake and hit him right in the face.
They just weren't expecting it.
I'm like, yep, that's it. It's like, same exact ending. Just
way cooler,
a little more flair in it, little more pizzazz. You know, we got to make them look cool. That's all.
That being said, I'm so happy the recap wasn't 16 minutes long like it used to be.
Yeah, same. I thought it did fly by. It also, I feel like, was kind of a dual purpose. It made the episode feel really short.
I was shocked
when it was done. It was like the ending credits came on. I was like, okay, wait a second. And luckily, there was stuff after the credits. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, cool. We love that. We're happy. We're good to go. But yeah, the recap was as smooth as a recap as it could have been.
Yeah.
Like, I know for real, though, like, during Fate Karakura Town, 16 minutes would just be what happened last time.
Yeah. And yeah. I think that's why, you know, people weren't as mad about the recap. But I also think people weren't as mad because I think there was an understanding that, like, hey, this should have been at the end of the Core 2, like we were talking about. This should have been
also, I mean, it's a brand new season. Hey, for people that maybe forgot, this is what happened last time.
But also, I always like in shows where they have a lot of characters, which Bleach could be this. It's not, but it could be where Game of Thrones is the same thing, where like every time before a Game of Thrones episode starts, it gives you a quick little recap, and it'll even show you scenes from like seasons ago where it's like, hey, this is going to be relevant in this episode, and they'll like show it to you.
Oh, that's true.
Where it kind of felt a little bit like that, where it's like, we're going to catch you back up to speed, like here's where we last left off, because it also just hops right into it. It's like, hey, this is where the episode ended, we're going to keep going, like let's go, let's steamroll this thing.
Right into the Almighty, then into Uryu, then into Boom Boom Boom. It just goes.
Yeah, it really does.
Also, God forbid I get to watch the cool Shinjumaru Bankai again.
Dude, that long ass name.
I'm gonna cry myself to sleep that I got. I tried to pronounce that name 3 or 4 times on stream again. I cannot do it.
I saw it and then I paused it so I could try to say it, and I'm like, it ain't gonna happen.
No, the word just collapses upon itself mid sentence. I just can't do it.
I did the same thing, and I just said, I don't have time for this shit.
I'm going to sit here and learn it, but nope. Yeah.
Speaking of not having time for this shit, there are 2 mid-episode like little visuals. And last season, the way that the Bleach anime did it is it would air, then they would post those same exact visuals on their website, and it has an English button. You can just press the English button, and it would just translate what the visuals are. And that's how I would bring this to you guys every week. I did not find a single person who's translated this. There's one for Shigurami.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what it's saying. It's a long bulk of text. I have no idea. And then there's another one about Ichibe Hiyosubi. Once again, long block of text, beautiful picture. I have no idea what it says. So unfortunately, until somebody translates that, I cannot bring that to you guys. I don't know. If somebody does translate that, I'll be the first to let you guys know.
There you go.
I wonder if it's, do you think it's just text describing how much Ichibe loves the swag life meme?
Oh my god. I mean, look at him now right here.
Look at the Kubo draw. So he's looking cool. Fire as hell.
How could you not? And he's like taking a shot of something. He's got a sick ass ring, a watch, that sick ass dope jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Ichibe like secretly like sneaks down from the Soul King's palace to just check out the new clothing lines every now and then.
He's just like, whoa.
Comes down to flex on everybody in Tokyo every once in a while.
It's like Shuhei with the motorcycles and guitars, but he just comes in for the fashion.
For the Supreme hoodies.
Yeah, you know. He's like, I bought the brick that says Supreme too.
He's like Shuhei, but he doesn't get grifted like Kisuke.
So speaking of something that shocked me, so we see Yuha get the Almighty, right? We see basically how it happens is Yuha all of a sudden reappears and stabs Ichibe. And Ichibe is like, how the fuck did you do that? And this is where we see where I was shocked by this, that Yuha is the one that gets the Stern Ritters released from Shinjumaru's Bankai.
Yeah.
I thought for sure, because someone could have tricked me into betting a lot of money that Uryu was going to be the one that escapes, that it was all going to be Uryu.
I know we were talking about that last year.
That's what the teaser seemed like it set up, because a lot of Uryu is the only one that we saw that actually gets out of there. Even the trailer seemed like it was just going to be Uryu. So much Uryu. I could have bet money that it would have been like some antithesis, would have swapped places, done something weird. But Yuha activating the Almighty like also works on the other like royal guards of the Stern
Ritter,
which
is pretty fucking cool.
And releases all of them. Like, and then you see Yugram without missing a damn beat starts going into a narrative speech. I'm like, this guy, like he's the instant hype man. Which, and I did like this even when I read the manga, I forgot this was a thing. And so even when I saw it in the anime, I was like, ooh. Now I did write down the whole speech just because it's a little bit different. And it talks about Yuha's powers, which I think is important. It is the confined Quincy King regains his pulse after 900 years. We knew that. His mind after 90 years. His strength after 9 years. We knew this. We knew this. Heard it. Been there. Done that. Had a great time. But he reveals that His Majesty was fighting the whole time with his eyes closed. And not because he took his enemies lightly, but because if he opened his eyes before the 9 years of strength was done, he could have lost control of his power. And now the 9 years of strength is ended.
When he said that, I was like, holy fucking hell, dude. That was so cold.
So I, from my old aging boomer memory, I did not remember like why he hasn't used the Almighty. I always thought in my mind from my old high school read here, it was like, he just activates at one point. He's just like, hey, fuck it. Like, it's time to use the Almighty. Let's get it done.
I've been holding this as a trump card.
I didn't realize that there was an in-lore reason for why Ichibe hadn't been using it up to this point. And I love it. I think it's really good. And I also think it's really cool where like, he's literally like, hey, yeah, listen, he was fighting you guys with eyes closed. So when he dunked on not only Yamamoto, but also Ichigo, when he came at him, his eyes were closed.
He didn't even look at him.
He didn't even try.
He's him.
Yes.
Yeah, but then that saying, it reminded me a little bit of Sasuke when he unlocks a Sharingan and you just see like each pupil being added.
He actually continues, and I thought this was very cool, is his eyes can now see and know everything that is about to unfold, and the power His Majesty sees with his eyes cannot be used to kill him, and that is Shrift A, the Almighty. So super cool. Great explanation of like how the power works. So basically, he is all seeing. He's all seeing. He can see how everything's going to end. He can see how every power works. And if he's able to see it, it cannot be used on him.
It's That's broken.
So cool.
Now, I do. I have one issue with that scene. Can you guess what it is?
No, what's up?
He steals Aizen's theme.
Oh, you're right. I didn't even pay attention.
I got pissed. Damn. I was so pissed.
That's
pissy.
Cold. See, but the whole time, all of that's playing, and then we, like, I think it was cutting back and forth for a little bit between them and the rest of the Stern Ritters while they're being.
It was.
We kept hearing the Stern Ritters, like, song that. You know, that German almost propaganda song. Mm-hmm. I was like, damn, that's cold as fuck.
The music in Bleach is so good.
It's so good with like the horns playing in the background and everything. I was just like,
people who have been affected by the great un. This is the Ashley super secret. It's only been revealed in the Bleach data book, guys. There's a secret shrift for the Stern Ritters, and it is that they're allowed to steal whoever's theme music that they want. Pepe was allowed to do it, and now Yuha was allowed
to do
it.
That's true.
This is running rampant.
Wait,
right now.
So, you know. We know what we know about Can't Fear Your Own World.
Yeah.
You know, Lil Toad, she steals, she eats Pepe. She steals his powers.
Yeah.
Can so she now steal music?
Lil Toto, next time you see her, will play the jazz music that Shinji was playing.
Right.
Mark my words. She'll come walking in with that. It'll happen.
She'll be all swagged out while she's doing it. She's just like, what up?
Yeah. That'll be it. She now has the power to steal it. It's C for copyright infringement. They are allowed to do it, and they're going to have a great time.
There you go.
Now she needs to get some of Ichigo's blood so she can steal number one.
Oh, could you imagine?
Oh, my God. Damn.
You know what? We need to write that fan fiction.
Someone write it down in comments.
It's done. I really, really like in this fight how they show the Almighty working. Like when Ichibei, because I think the stuff of Ichibei trying to attack again is anime only mm-hmm. content. Like you don't really see much of it in the manga. And he tries to attack multiple times. And I love that they do a freeze frame for a second. And then when it cuts back, the scene is different.
Yeah, he's
and
on the opposite yeah, side.
Like,
or
he's now
just,
not
yeah.
there. Your power doesn't work on him here. It was so cool. And I loved how they implemented that. I was wondering before we even started, how do you adapt a power like the Almighty? It is so broken. It has so many different uses. It negates anything that that Yuha wants to do, right? Anything that he doesn't want to affect him, gone. Don't worry about it. How do you adapt to power like that? I thought it was so cool how they did it.
It was so seamless.
So, cool. So we do cut right over then to Uryu now, who gets freed right in front of Sinjimaru. And Sinjimaru straight up like, did Yuha's awakening cause him to develop a new power? And then we see Uryu's eyes flicker red,
yep.
which look just like Yuha's eyes. Mm-hmm. And even we get a scene of Yugram purposely reacting to it, that like he can sense something from Uryu. What could it mean? I almost, from what we see later, I kind of think that like Uryu is tapping into like Yuha's power because like he is the successor, so I think he has a little bit of his power. I think he's like tapping into that, and it's too much. And that's why we saw him struggling at the very
end.
That's
why you see the blue vein in his eyes.
Yeah,
and
I think he's like freaking out. It's too much power and he's trying to suppress it. It reminded me a lot of like Hollow Ichigo scenes where he's like almost fighting with himself.
Okay.
And it reminded me also a lot of, people are going to hate this comparison, but like My Hero with Shigaraki and One for All or All for One.
All for One.
And like they're kind of fighting over this body and it's like he has to suppress the powers. It reminded me very much of that. I don't know if that's what they're going for. This is all new content, so we have no manga to base this off of. I liked it, though.
I thought it was very fantastic.
Cool. I thought the effects for Uryu was super cool.
Just even that whole little bit where Senjimaru, like, again, yeah. we get that little recap. She talks about her Bankai, yeah. traps everybody. Yeah. And then when he frees himself, he's yeah. flying around.
Jose, the way Senjimaru moves when chasing Uryu, like, through the cloth.
That shit was crazy.
So cool. And, like, she does it multiple times. Yeah. Like, one time she walks forward and then just disappears into the cloth. Another time she's, like, zipping through it and shit-talking him. And she's going, like, this is so cool.
I was so excited. I'm just sitting there going, like, oh, God damn it. I should be writing this down, but I'm just speeding.
Senjimaru is so cool. And then I did laugh a little bit because there was a part where, like, Uryu hops down and Senjimaru makes the floor literally lava.
Yeah. I was like, floor is lava, bitch.
What is she, Shunsui? Like, what the fuck game are we playing?
She's
here?
Playing games too.
Now, here's my thought about it. Do you think Uryu hadn't used his shrift yet, so he just doesn't really know how to control the antithesis?
So I do think that is part of it, and I think they had mentioned before, because I do think later in the fight, we see a part where Uryu has both of his wings, and it plays the bell toll thing,
yes.
which usually means that they're doing their full standing. This is towards the end of the fight. And he's struggling. Like, it's like, it's like staticking. I think he can't control his full power yet, and I think he's still very new to being like a Stern Ritter and having a shrift. And I believe someone double fact checked me on this. I'm free to call me wrong. I believe that there are other stern readers that said it took them a while to control their full standing. It was not like a instantly gain control sort of thing. So I think what we were seeing is Udyu does not have full control over his full standing yet. So he kind of did like a half measure.
So that would make sense because everyone else's has hard edges and hard lines, yeah. according, you know, on yeah. their wings specifically. Udyu's was all particly, which I think looked kind of cool.
It looked really cool.
It looked really cool, yeah. but I was just like, damn.
And I love the staticky noise.
Yeah.
Oh, it was like butter to my ears. I liked it.
Dude, the Foley, the sound design, even beyond the music, is just top tier.
It's so good.
Yep. Yep. And one of the things that surprised me, and I thought this was the scene of the episode for me, okay? I'm going to declare this the scene of the episode, the official Bleach Boy scene of the episode, as declared by Sam. When Sinju Maru unleashes Hollows from inside of her fucking wraps, and Udyu is flying through the sky, shooting them. I think he blasts one of them, flies through. Then he realizes as he's shooting the Hollows that they have the fucking threads inside of their bodies, grabs Udyu by the thread, and then starts to throw Udyu with a thread, but while he's being thrown, Udyu is shooting Hollows upside down. I'm like, oh my god, that is so
cool. So fucking cool.
That is so cool.
I'm a Ishida hater, you know? Like, god damn. I was like, kind of badass,
dude. It was kind of fucking badass. Little scene I've ever seen. And how long were those Hollows there? Are they ancient Hollows from like back in the time?
Like, I'm like, did she just make them? Like, dude, what the fuck?
Crazy. I have to assume that she was probably experimenting on Hollows like a Mayuri.
Yeah.
And like, these are just my fucking spare ones I have hanging out.
Speaking of that, she does drop that Mayuri line, and she's
which happens right after.
Yeah,
this.
Right after that.
It happens right after this, where Senju Maru has Udyu trapped, and she's like, "This is the perfect time that one, I'm gonna shit talk Mayuri. Two, I'm going to bring a traumatic memory for Udyu. I'm going to do a double whammy here, a little bit of a do-si-do." And she like has him like, "Oh, like, hey, I'll make this quick. Don't worry. I'm not like Mayuri. I don't get anything from tinkering with dead bodies."
Yep.
And like, even Udyu's like,
like, the fuck?
Like, taken aback by that. I'm like, yeah, fuck. That's rude. That's really rude. Especially because Udyu and him are kind of on the same side now. Mayuri saved Udyu. You know, it was a little, he did kill his grandpa, which is a little bit of a hate to see it, but what's one dead grandpa between friends?
Exactly.
What's
one, this, come on,
that's water under the bridge.
And then did you catch that Udyu then used the "on my honor" as a Quincy line against her?
I did.
Yes,
I
he
wrote
did.
That down. So I had to go back. I actually went back and I pulled up the episode for that. So I went back and I pulled up because I wanted to see. I thought that line was said right before Udyu fires the final arrow against Mayuri when they're first fighting. I thought that was like the classic, and I thought that was like a one-for-one callback. That is not when he does it. He says that line right after Mayuri shows him the picture of his grandpa. He's like, "Hey, look at this guy that I tortured." And Udyu's like, "That's my fucking grandpa." And then Udyu starts to power up. And that's when he says the line, "On my honor as a Quincy, I'll kill you."
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be a one-to-one reference where like Udyu fires the final one, says the line, and then he did the same thing to Sinjimaru. It's not, but it is still very cool that it goes back-to-back. And I like there's a double symbolism here where Udyu, he says, "On my honor as Quincy, I'll kill you." And when he says that against Mayuri, it's a long fought out battle after that. It's not instantly over. Udyu still has to like break his bow and get the one winged where he starts sucking in all the Ryatsu from the buildings, which now when he says it the second time, he now has two wings.
That's
and
true.
One shot Sinjibaru right after that. So it really goes to show how much stronger Udyu is from both times that he said it. I thought it was incredible.
I can't believe I popped off for the "on my honor" as a Quincy line, but I did. I stood up out of my chair.
It's just so classic Udyu. That is just classic Udyu lines. I was like, dude, like, how can you get cooler than that? It is so cool. I was a little bit caught back that like one arrow kind of blasted Sinju Maru and it was over.
Same, but I mean, what, last time he shot Mayuri, it was like a giant fucking thing, right? Like a Kameha. This time it was just like a nice precision
one. It shows growth, you know? And like, I as Udyu would be a little also flustered that she killed him with a needle in the back of the neck at one point, which was very reminiscent. Have you guys both seen a Kamiga Kill?
Yes.
A Kamiga Kill?
Yeah.
Pythies?
Yeah.
Fucking transforming perfume bitch that goes around and does that
I
to everybody
her name.
Kills the nice flamethrower guy. I was like, that fucking bitch,
you can't like anyone in that anime. That's all I remember from it.
That's what it reminded me of. I was like, wow, that is very a comic kill. I wonder, is that like a common assassination technique in like Japan or something? That is weird.
Just in the back of the neck.
Liked it, loved it. I thought it was really, really cool. And then that's pretty much the end of the Sinju Maru fight right there. That is it. That is all we get.
So I wrote down like a cool phrase, and I don't remember where it said in the episode. So Sam, maybe you got me on this. They are the bells that toll for the King of Three Worlds.
Yeah, so that's at the very end. That's at the very end when Yuha's walking up to the Soul King Palace.
Oh, that part was badass.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's swap over to Ichibei for a little, because it actually it swaps over to Ichibei for a little bit right before Uryu kills Shinjimaru, and then it comes back. Because we get, which I attribute to the classic, and Pythes, you may not know this because I don't think you are a Jujutsu Kaisen manga reader. We get the classic line from Ichibei, "You think I'd lose," right before he gets blasted.
Yeah.
Which is fucking embarrassing.
Oh, Sam, everybody knows the "nah, I'd win."
Yeah, it is the "nah, I'd win" of Bleach. Now, I'm going to specify, I would give that the "nah, I'd win" of Bleach, but I can't. Because there is a more embarrassing line that has already been said by another character that is very famous. This is really the "nah, I'd win" of Squad Zero.
Oh.
The "nah, I'd win" of Bleach is taken by Chad. Yamamoto.
Oh, I thought it was Chad's.
There is no greater security than me.
Oh, you're right. You're
by
right.
The dupe of Yuhabaha. Like, that is embarrassing.
I can one-up you. It is Ichigo saying, "I can't ever picture Chad losing."
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's what I thought we were going to. I was like, okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That takes the cake. Boom. That's it.
Kyoraku.
That's it. You guys got me. Damn. See, I didn't know we were going to slander Chad like
yeah,
that.
We're on the same
Didn't know we were taking down Chad. I just thought he was our guy. I didn't know we were going to shit on him like that.
Did you guys notice at the end that Chad wasn't involved in the ending? So, like, no. towards the end, we're getting, like, you know, like, everyone's pictures and, like, almost like they're like the characters, right? That they're drawn out. Chaz wasn't included in the one where it was
ending?
Ichigo or Hime. Yeah.
Oh, got it.
Yeah,
he was just included in the ensemble one at the end. Got it.
Sorry.
Jose, you stressed me out. I was like, man, was he not in the fucking scene where they were walking up? I was like, where'd he go?
No. He was there, but he got done dirty. He didn't add him to the other clip.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't see that. But yeah, that Chad line is definitely takes the cake.
That one sucks.
That's it. You guys beat me. Damn. So right after that is when we get Ichibei's dance, which we were talking about a little bit earlier. I thought that was fucking hilarious. That was so funny. It took me out of the seriousness of the episode. Also, Yuhabaha, was he stuck to the ground?
I didn't understand that part, but I was like, okay.
He tried to move because I saw him looking down and then he looked up like maybe he tried to move. Maybe he was like glued to the floor or something.
He stepped in tar.
Yeah, we'll just pretend that that's the case because that was crazy that he didn't try to do anything. But I feel like at first the song started off as almost like a sea shanty, like you would hear like pirates singing on a boat, and then it went to some like fucking folk dancing, backwoods dancing. I'm like, what am I hearing here?
I was like, this sounds so traditional, like just in terms of a Japanese like ritual.
Yeah,
I was like, okay, this is really cool. And then when he pulls out his giant sake cup,
yeah, and I was watching it for the first time, and I laughed. I was like, I watched it, and then all of a sudden, like after he does the dance, it fades to black. I'm like, what the fuck is that? I'm like, what happened there? Turns out that is where the commercial break would have been. That's why that was there, because I was taken off guard by that. I pointed that out, and somebody in the comments was like, oh, if you're watching like on Hulu, that's when you would have got the ad.
I forget that.
Ad would have been right there.
That's where I got the ad.
See? that's why it makes sense. And that is why they did it the way they did. I thought it was very interesting because right after that, we basically get the whole like sneak peek footage that we got before.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, did they do that on purpose? Like that way we got like just to separate the sneak peek footage? Like that's weird.
I loved it though. It was so nice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dude. Yeah. That's how you CG, man. It looked great.
Yeah, it looked fantastic.
There was actually a lot of CG in this episode that was just very, very well hidden. It was just very, tastefully very like, sprinkled done. About, yeah. And I thought that was so incredible. Also, I got to give a special shout out. First of all, we see Ichibei's Futen Taisatsu Ryo. That's what the technique is called. Basically, it is a technique that he was going to stop Yuha from ever even like reincarnating. Like he was going to be it. He was going to steal him, and he was going to be gone forever. Now, how did he accomplish that? He stole 100 knights from the Soul Society of 100 years from now. The fuck is that? Like,
did he just steal random days?
Excuse me? Yeah, what days are you taking from
knights?
100 days? Like, and how does that even work? Like, let's say I'm on my deathbed. I got one day left. He steals 100 from me? Like, where does that go?
It just cuts to you not even getting to say you're...
Like, am I immortal now?
Yeah.
Am I good?
Ooh.
Like, he just stole my death date from me? Like, what happens?
You're like, shit, I'm isolated for 100 days.
It would be funny if the Soul Society from 100 years from now is like the Burn the Witch Society. And like, god damn it. Like, somebody's
like, what happens? All of a sudden gets rewritten into Burn the Witch.
Fucking asshole. Ichibei just takes. He's a taker. You know, he doesn't ask for anything. He just takes. You got something that he wants, he's going to steal it from you.
As long as he needs
some years, he's going to take it from you. He needs power to revive, he's going to steal from Ichigo.
Oh, my God. When he said that line, I agreed with Ichigo's face. I was like, motherfucker.
Yeah. So I thought that was funny. Also, I thought this is my second favorite scene of the episode. Not necessarily the whole technique being used, but when Yuha finishes the sentence the same time as Ichibei, oh my fucking God.
So good.
That was so funny, and I just couldn't help but one. I had two feelings. One, it reminded me of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Part 2.
Oh, you went there. Like, I was about to say that's some Joseph Joestar shit.
Yeah, that was like his whole spiel and the whole thing was finishing the bad guy sentence. Number one, well, or number two, I would just leave if somebody did that to me. I'd be like, well, it was. Well,
you obviously know what I'm going to do. I'm done.
It was a pleasure fighting you. I was testing you to see if you were telling the truth. I now see you were telling the truth. I will see you later, and then I would fucking dip.
Just
leave. I'd be gone. Like, you know what? Hopefully these skeletons come up from the ground and grab your ankles, because I got to dip. I'm out. Like, no, thank you.
And you're like, you know, maybe mustard gas will get him, but nah, I don't think it's going to work.
He somehow has a mask on.
Yeah. It's like, he foresaw the gas was coming, so he prepared a mask in time. Be like, all right, well, this fucking sucks. It's like, I'm out, man.
Oh, dude, I fucking love this episode. It was so good.
Mm-hmm. And that's, like, literally right after that. Like, the moment he finishes his sentence, Ichibei does some, like, fucking nosedive with his sword. Like, he's going to stab him. And that's when it cuts right to Ichibei being fucking popped like a balloon. And, like, it was kind of brutal that, like, his head just drops on the floor.
Yeah, so I was just like, whoa.
I was like, oh, okay,
they right. really are using that later time slot right now.
Like, that's where we're going with this. Like, love it. Goodbye, Ichibei. Pleasure knowing you.
And he's like, dust his hands off. All right, boys, time to go fucking kill the Soul King, I guess.
Yeah. And then it's after this that we see the first kind of notion of Uryu kind of doing his full standing. I'm going to just pretend that he's doing that. His untrained version. That's where we first see it with the bells tolling and everything. And I thought what was interesting also, which we didn't note, Sinjimaru, when she dies by Uryu, we see multiple people react to it.
Yeah.
We see Ichigo, Urahara, Ukitake, and Miri. What a weird... I feel like Ichigo, Urahara, Miri. Get it? Cool. And then Ukitake, like, what is homie doing in there? Why did he get included?
Mimihage.
Yeah.
You think he just knew? But, like, I feel like Mimihage, like, he would know if something happened. Well, I guess they're all pieces of the Soul King, right? They're all really the Soul King now. All right, you sold me. You locked me in with one sentence today, and I'm in.
I had a more thorough explanation, but Jose summed it up way better than me.
I said one word.
Yeah, and that's all we need, man. I was like Blue Lock, and I was missing the one puzzle piece of my brain. And you handed it to me. It's like, it's in. That makes a lot of sense then.
Yeah.
I like the character that showed. I liked, obviously, Urahara noticed. I like Mayuri noticed because they're the boys. I like that Ichigo is like, well, shit. And then like, Ukitake, of course.
Shit hit the fan.
It was cool. It was very cool.
And then I like that they have the conversation about, wait, who are you talking about, Ichigo? He goes, oh, yeah, right. Those people I trained with. The who?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're mega crazy strong.
Isn't that one just dead on the ground, Ichigo? You know how that works.
So I have a question, and this is something that we've talked about before the season even started, and I want to get you guys' opinion on it now. How does Uryu ever live this down? He has officially killed a Soul Reaper. Officially. She is gone. For all intents and purposes, she is dead. Multiple people reacted to this happening. So will this just be like a Dragon Ball Z, like water under the bridge, like you best and you don't worry about it, Uryu. It's all good. Because he killed him. He killed Sinjimaru. For what he knows, as far as we know, he does not know that she can revive and that she's immortal. He killed her. She died. So how does Uryu ever face Soul Reaper again? It's like, yeah, my bad.
Well, first off, he doesn't really give a shit about Soul Reaper specifically. He's just friends with Ichigo. That's number one. Number two, in his head, he's all about gotta get Yuha, whatever. Whatever I do to get there doesn't matter. I just got to take care of business. Also, let's be real. The Soul Reapers are friends with Mayuri, who's done way worse shit.
That's true.
To his own men, in the first introduction, he blows up his own soldiers.
And Sinjimaru was...
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Basically the leader of Mayuri's OG group. So where do you think Mayuri got it from, Sinjimaru?
Also, let's not forget that Squad Zero just gets better.
Yeah.
It's water under the bridge. They get healed.
They're fine.
There's no hard feelings. Sinjimaru's like, hey, let me just do it to you one time.
Also, let's just be real. There's nobody videotaping this. Ryu could just be like, oh, Yugum did that.
Yeah, just throw him under the bus.
Yeah, but it's just really weird that like they just have like a really precise arrow in their chest. Like, no, like we all can do that. Like, yeah, all Starwinders
were that good.
Like, it could have been anybody. And then, honestly, that's frankly racist. That
it's,
you would.
It's Lily, you know, but he just makes a hole.
Yeah. Like, I would have sewn it up. Like, that's not me. That's I would have done that.
No, guys, come on.
So right after that, we go straight to all of the Sturmriders now reassembling with Yuha, and they get to the top of the stairs and they do their nice little kneel down thing. And that's where Yugrim goes, "Our 1,000 years of prayer have been answered," which that is insane that they've been praying for 1,000 years.
Like, yeah, hello. I was like, God damn, dude.
That's a long time to be hanging out doing prayer. But I thought this part was very cool, by the way. Yuha's like, "All right, time to go up to the Soul King. Let's get it." And he starts to suck the reishi out of like all the pillars in the Soul Pass to create the steps up to the Soul King.
Oh,
and
that's so where we get hardcore.
Such a cool scene with the CG camera work. It was so cool.
You saw his boys follow behind him.
Yeah. And I like that you can see like he's walking and the camera is constantly rotating.
Yeah.
Reishi is being sucked everywhere. I'm like, dude, this is just the perfect. And I hope studios follow suit. I'm okay with CG not being an anime. If they don't want to do it, that's cool. But if they do use CG, this is the perfect example of how to do it. And it is so pleasing to my eyes.
Please learn from Puro Films.
So cool. I thought they handled it incredibly well.
It was so good.
Either that or just do it like a Dora Hey Dora, in which the CG is just great all around.
Yeah, pick a side. I liked the bells every time Yuha was walking forward. Loved it. I thought that was incredibly on theme. And then we get our first look at the closing one. I believe that's actually where we get the line that you were speaking of about the bells ring for the King of the Three Worlds. Mm-hmm. That's right when he gets to the top where the Soul King is.
It just goes so hard.
But this is also where we get our first look at the closing song, mm-hmm. which is what Jose was talking about earlier, which is Monochrome by Suiso. I don't know if that's how you pronounce that band. Now, I got to say, 2/3 of the song I totally vibe with. Love the fucking closing song. I think it's incredible. The song changes probably, I don't even know if it's halfway through, 33% through. It changes right when the Sturmriders get on screen to some other vibe of song. I'm like, oh, I hate it.
It's because it goes almost like hip-hop-y,
but
right?
Then it goes back to being like this nice little jazzy song. I'm like, all right, like this is great. This is lovely. It's just the middle part when the Sturmrider came on screen where I'm like, I do not like that.
Because you're not supposed to like the Sturmriders.
They've ingrained it in my brain where it's like, oh, like look at all the cool songs that the Soul Reapers get. The Sturmriders came on, they changed the vibe. I'm like, I hate
you're
this.
You're like, boo. You're like, I hate these guys.
Yep, like that
they're conditioning
sense.
You.
I hate the song. I hate the Sturmriders. Perfect.
I have to listen to the full song. I only listen to it in the episode.
Well, no, it's in the episode. In the episode. They're showing all the slides of the Stern or of the Soul Reapers, and they're like, by the way, it was kind of make me laugh that it looked like they went on to Google and grabbed PNGs for all the characters. Yeah. And then they're just like, we're just gonna pull the camera back.
That's what I meant. And I'm like, I mean, you get to see my waifu, and I'm like, she's about to die in that
she's
part.
She's doing there,
and
she's doing like some fucking cartwheel backflip. Like, yeah, she's there. And I like they're just like all of them, like, this could be Bleach Bracelets art where they just rip right here.
They're just like,
I've made a thumbnail just like this before.
It's like everyone got really cool ones. That's what I was saying. I was like, everyone gets really cool ones, like Ichigo or Hime. Yeah. Everybody else. And then it's like, then it's the panel where everybody has one. And it's just like, oh, here's all the rest of the Soul Reapers. And here's Chad.
Well, now, Jose, there's a really logical explanation for why that be. And Kubo being the man that he is perfectly planning this out. That obviously, you know, the third season is the lead up to the climax, right? The fourth season is going to be all about the climax. It's going to be where the most important parts are going to be. So he's not going to have Chad in the third season. That's the build up part.
You're right.
He's saving Chad for the fourth season where it's going to be all the important scenes that we've missed. That's where we're going to see his abuelo come and actually teach Chad how to get full devil armor. You know, that's where that's going to come in. And Chad's going to be probably in the opening, the closing, and the mid-credit scene. He's going to be in
the whole season.
It's going to be all Chad all the time. It's going to be mid-scenes talking about Chad's armor, his arms, his feet, his necklace, his coin. It's going to be all Chad all the time.
Then he's going to get like a mask, and it's going to look like what's his name? Greed.
Yep.
He's going to get that Greed mask, and then he's like, Ichigo, once I put this mask on, I will be the Soul King. What? Don't do it, Chad! Boom.
Yep, and then he takes over for Yuha, and that's how the story ends, everybody.
Sam, I'm just proud that you didn't spoil the fact that he also learns the Kamehameha.
Well, now you ruined it, Pipes. Now everybody's going to know. I was saving that for the natural reveal.
But he's like Yami, where he fires it like Balas.
Now, do you guys say Kamehameha, or do you say Kamehameha?
Kamehameha.
Which one do you guys land on?
Kamehameha.
I do that as well.
When I am talking to someone and I just want to get it out faster, I will say Kamehameha.
It has slipped out of me a couple of times, but usually I'm speaking to someone who already knows Dragon Ball, and they always say the same thing, Kamehameha.
Okay.
Now, if you want to be the worst, you could just call it the Turtle Destruction Wave.
The original name?
Someone said that to me once, and I wanted to jump off a bridge.
You're like, it's not right.
The ending, I thought the ending was hysterical because we had, like, you know, cool chair eyes in it, but also just all the Bambis. They were just there.
Yep.
Yeah, they were just there.
which is good. They got a little shout out. You know, the Bambies are there. Everybody loves the Bambies.
They're still doing stuff.
Yeah, they're around. Lil Toto's hanging out.
We'll see
him,
maybe.
We'll see Lil Toto.
Yeah.
They're around, unlike Robert Aquatron.
Poor guy. He just wanted to be up there with them.
We, the members, I speak for us all here. We, the members of the Robert Aquatron Deniers Club. We go by R-A-D-L. R-A-D-C. Radic, for short, what we go for. Radical was also what we've been known for. We truly believe that because they didn't show the Robert scene of him necessarily full on dying, that he is still alive. I think that he will take the role of Na-Na-Na. We don't like Na-Na-Na. Who cares about Na-Na-Na? You know who people like? It's Robert. Robert's going to come in. He's going to be half skeleton. He's going to come in. He's going to go up to the Soul King and beg him. Beg him. Please make Yuha, because he's his poppy. He's going to go and he says, please make your son, Yuha, choose me. I want to be a Royal Guard Stern Ritter. And then Soul King is going to speak for the first time ever. And Soul King is going to speak and tell Mr. Yuha that you need to be nice or you're going to be grounded. And then we're going to get Yuha, and he's probably going to kick out. Who's he going to kick out? Pernida. He's going to kick out Pernida. Pernida's old news. He cut him off already. Kick out Pernida. We don't need him. He's going to replace with Robert.
Now, Sam, I need you to reveal what voice will the Soul King speak with, because I have an answer for you, but I want to know if you have it.
Sure. So the Soul King, he's going to, so firstly, he starts to speak. It's kind of like those times when the monsters first get their voice back. I'm like,
oh, it's all raspy.
And I go, Mr. Yuha, you need to get your voice back.
I was
going to
say, it's going to be Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, that's how it's going to go. It is going to be the voice of Mickey
Master
Mouse.
Master Yuha, you will give him the Stern Ritter A.
The awesome.
It's because we're changing it now. It's better that way.
Now, I have to let you know that you are wrong. He's actually just going to sound like Macho Man Randy Savage.
Okay. I'm down for that too. But listen, do we want to take that from Master Masculine? You know, like, I feel like that should really
he
be
has
his
the,
voice.
Ooh, I'm going to kill you hard.
Where do you think Mask got it from?
See, he watched a lot of American wrestling.
All right. The Soul King teaches all.
That's yeah, there you go. Came from.
That match with Ricky Steamboat changed his life.
So let's wrap up the episode. Let's talk after credits scene here, which is about 3 minutes long, by the way. So there's a lot of after credits.
I was happy with it.
We see Ichigo appear, and Ichibei's voice calls out to him. It's like, call my name. Which, by the way, I gotta say here, 99% of the population, I was asking people today, okay, I work at a hotel. So I ask people all the time, what's your last name? Or like what, so that I can find their room and all the information. I can verify, like, when somebody wants to post them to the room, I got to verify the first and last name just to make sure. The amount of people I ask and their own first and last name,
they go, oh shit.
I'm like, dude, there's so many people you would ask this question, especially with a name like Ichibei Hyosubi. I'm gone. If you ask me that, I'm up there. I'm like, well, I know Ichibei. Does the first name work? Like, is that going to be good? It's like, I don't fucking know.
I love how Ichigo is just kind of like, oh shit, his name, damn it.
I do like how also Ichigo's like, yeah, I'm hearing this voice, and everybody's just completely on board. And it's like
he's, you know, you've seen some shit, dude.
That seems like something that the Squad Zero would be able to do. That seems like they'd have a great time. Go for it.
Then we got Mommy Orihime over here. She's like, oh my god,
she immediately goes to healing. Now I do have a question about the logistics of that. If Orihime was to, like, let's say, heal Ichibei, like, really focus on healing Ichibei for about 5 minutes, could she accomplish it? Could she accomplish healing Ichibei? Is that something
she can accomplish reviving someone, though, right?
Well, he still has a piece of him, right? So, Pythes, I turn it to you.
I think the power of the Almighty would block that, because it does that later.
Okay, well, let's pretend, now in my hypothetical situation, that the Almighty is not involved. It's just like a locked room. Almighty's not even there. Ichibei got glacked by a snake or something. He got bit and died.
Yeah, obviously. She brought, I forget one of them, lowly, I mean, she brought one of them back from having her torso blasted into smithereens by Grimmjow.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, it was Mentally. Yeah, it was okay. Mentally. Mentally was the one that got roasted. Lowly was pretty much fine the whole time. It was Mentally.
And like, when I say like blasted to pieces, I don't mean there's a hole missing. I mean her entire top torso is gone. And she revives her, clothes and all. Everything
there
was fine.
Hey, there we go.
Okay, I was wondering if that was possible. Now we know. Because I thought it was like, it was a little bit funny at first when she was starting to do it. I was like, oh, no, that's right. Or he may say, like, what the fuck does it matter? And then he's like, oh, bring me back. And then all of a sudden that black ooze starts coming out the top of her head. It's like a little bit gross, very monster-esque. Like, it felt very,
I liked it, though.
It felt very weird. Like, it's not something that you should almost see. And I think this is a good representation. It's not something I feel like that you should see, like, a hero be doing, like, revive with, like, this black sludge. And I was like, oh, that's a great representation for Ichibei. That's great.
Because you don't know if he's actually good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the picture behind you. He looks suspicious as fuck.
he looks like he's coming for his money. Like, he lent you something, and he's like, yo, I'm here for my money, boy.
And what if, Yuha, like, used the Almighty, and he, from the get-go, his plan was in that new scene where they have, actually, Pythes referenced earlier, where they had Orihime and Ichigo and Ganju talking in the thing coming up, and Orihime's like, well, they sound so strong, they could take everybody. Yuha planned that. He knew that Orihime would jinx them, and that would cause their downfall.
Damn it, Orihime.
She jinxed their victory, and that's what caused the whole thing. It's like, this was said in My Hero a lot, which, by the way, I'm watching My Hero, which is why I keep quoting
it. Oh, is that why you're quoting it so much?
I'm trying to catch up. There's a part where this nice-looking news lady comes on to the show, and she starts giving this feel of like, can a butterfly flap its wings in Brazil and cause a tornado in Texas or something like that?
It's talking about the fucking butterfly effect.
Yeah, in the manga,
yeah,
too.
It was.
Okay. I was like, but I remember reading that
in the anime right now. That is what Orihime did to Squad Zero. She flapped her wings in Brazil and caused a tornado in the Soul Palace.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else do we got here? Ichibe asked Ichigo, and I thought this was very nice, and it speaks a lot to Ichigo's character. Ichibe asked Ichigo that he's not going to ask him to kill Yuha, but he's asking him to stop Yuha. And I thought that was a very cute little interaction where he's like, you know what? Ichigo doesn't really kill people. He doesn't really do it. Just please stop him. Like, I'm not going to ask you to kill him. I know, like, that's going to be a whole fucking thing. Just stop him. And this is when we actually see flashes of a bunch of people, which I think is worth noting. We see Ishin and the sisters, which is cool. We see the group of the human friends, Tatsuki, Keigo, and Mizuki, I think is the name.
Mizuhiro.
Mizuhiro.
We see a random ass place in Wekamundo where nobody's at. It's just fucking empty.
It's just like a broken down house or something.
We see Ruki and Renji. And then I thought this was the most interesting one. We get to see Shinji and Sui Fan back up, good to go. They were healed, and I believe it's Momo that was healing somebody as well. I don't know for sure if that was Momo, but I'm pretty sure it isn't. She's just healing like two random Soul Reapers on the ground. But I thought that, like, holy shit, Shinji and Sui Fan, like, they're both there, just good to go. And they do, I know at least Shinji does show up later as well, like, good to go in one of the scenes at Nurahara's lab, so that's cool.
Sui Fan does as well.
Okay, so I thought that was very cool. They give a little hint, nudge, nudge there. And then our very last scene. Actually, we got two more, but this is the best
one. I know. This is the good one.
Shunsui arrives to Aizen. Now, I got a bit of a gripe, guys, and I got a question that relates to this. Why does every time we see Aizen, he has a different setup for his bandages?
Right? They were all over his face this time.
Who is setting up the bandages for Aizen? Like, who is getting close enough to set these things up? Because, like, when he saw... when he saw Yuha... He could speak.
Yeah.
He could speak, and he had, I think his eyes were closed. And then there was another time we saw him that we saw his eyes. And then now we see him, and he's like completely gimp mode. Like, no, for you guys, you can't see anything except for his hair. Who's doing that?
I would imagine that, like, when he was talking to Yuha, that was during the first invasion. Mm-hmm. So someone probably figured out, oh shit, he was talking to Aizen. So they went back in there and they sealed him up further just in case.
That's a good explanation. Yeah. Or we got the other Kenpachi that did it.
Mm-hmm. Of course. I thought that was so funny. It's like, he just comes down. I'm like, dude, they wrapped him the fuck up.
Yeah, he was like, fucking covered up.
He's sealed like a goddamn mummy now. It's like, he's good to go.
Jose, I don't want to rain on your parade, but that guy would be dead by now.
Is he dead? I thought he would still be alive.
No. That Spirits Are Forever With You takes place like before the Fullbring arc.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Damn. Learn better, Jose.
Sorry, I haven't read that one yet.
Yeah,
we'll get there.
Someone was asking about that on one of the live streams. They were asking about Spirits Forever With You. I was like, dude, I'm like, the only stuff I know about Spirits Forever With You is from fucking Bleach Brave Souls. And just the character. I know that Don Kanoji's got a pink Lambo, and I know that Azashiro's cool. Like, that's all I got, man.
No, Azashiro's not cool, which is why he's cool.
Okay, it's the reverse effect. My bad. I'll have to apologize to the guy when I see him next time. I gave him misinformation. I told him about the show. It was really cool. So then the very last scene we get, now this is the true scene, we see that Yuha walks up and stabs the Soul King, and this is where we get the line, the one who can see the future, my father, and then he stabs him.
Ooh, so good.
That's where we get the reveal. Great place to end. Now, I have one place that would be greater to end, and this is in the manga, and I think they're going to do this speech in the next episode, so potentially spoilers for the next episode if you guys don't want to know anything about that. In the manga, right after Ichibei sends off Ichigo and friends to go do it, the next scene, the next panel from Ichibei, Ichibei's like, yeah, sorry Ichigo, you're not strong enough to kill him, but best of luck, I had to send you anyways. Like, that is literally the next scene from Ichibei. He's like, I know that you cannot win with your power as it is right now, I'm sorry, that's just how peace works. Like, that's, like, I think literally
that's cold.
What Ichibei says.
That's so
and
cold.
They laugh that out where Ichibei looks like a good guy here.
Yeah.
Ichibei looks like a really good guy where it's like, hey, Ichigo, friend, bud, I'm not asking you to kill him. Just please stop, Yuha. They left out the fucking part where Ichigo is like, psych, I know that guy's not fucking strong enough, oh. Idiot. It's like, I just need you to buy time.
We were talking last season about how they did a good job making Ichibei look suspicious as shit.
Mm-hmm.
This just continues it.
Yeah, yeah. Shady motherfucker.
So it's like, we get a whole episode where it's like, if you were an anime-only watcher, you'd be like, man, this Ichibei guy, what an upstanding gentleman. What a class act this
not
Ichibei guy.
Not a bad dude.
And then it immediately goes, next episode, you're going to be like, oh, that Ichibei guy's a cocksucker.
I feel like they're going to save that scene for later on. Because you did... Well, Kubo said they're going to move stuff around, right?
Well, they already moved stuff around mm-hmm. in the forum of Uehara's lab. There was a whole bunch of scenes of them all in Uehara's lab that should have happened by now. We didn't see it.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, so I saw you live streaming that last. I saw you reading the manga, and I wanted to join in, but I was like, it's really late here. I got to go to bed.
Yeah, it was a good time. It was good.
But my thought was, I was like, oh, man, Sam's so excited. Look at it.
It's so good.
Yeah. So I had a great time. We were trying to guess where it was going to end, and I got to say, I fucking nailed it. So I fucking nailed where the first episode was going to end. Easy peasy. Slam dunk. Nailed it.
Considering all the stuff they expanded and moved around, I can now say definitively, we are finally done with volume 67.
Woo!
Let's go.
Dude, we have been on that. We were on that for episodes because they just kept adding things and moving them around. Good. I can read the next one for fuck's sake.
Yippee. And then let's finish with the Yuha poem we get at the very end.
Yep.
The bell will continue to toll until you fall to the earth struck by the sword. And that is the very end of the episode. Thoughts about the whole episode? What did you guys think?
Dude, I loved it. It was a really solid first episode.
Now, what did you guys think about it as a premiere for like the season? Like, what did you think?
I loved it. We got the little recap that didn't feel too bad. Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff added. And then just like not even playfulness. It was just straight to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just loved it.
My thoughts are, I think it is exactly what I thought it was going to be last season. I was like, oh, so next episode, they're just going to wrap everything up as soon as this core starts, and they did. So now we're on to the new shit, and I'm really excited for next episode.
I did see someone on the comments straight up say, like, oh, there's going to be, like, a legit recap, maybe, like, I think they said it was going to be a recap in like 10 minutes, and then we'll get to all the new stuff afterwards.
Yeah, I thought the episode was super good. I have a couple of notes that I took. One, I already said it. The OST was incredible. Really, really good the whole episode. Even during the recap, I want to give a special shout out to that again. I thought the music was really good, and I think that helped a lot. I also think the opening and the ending being so good helped a lot. I think that made it fill up a lot of space and made it exciting the whole way through. After seeing the CG and the camera work that is from this episode, my hopes and my dreams for season 3 are through the roof.
Through the roof?
I hope they maintain this quality through and through. I know for the pre-screening, we talked about it before, actually in one of our clips that we did. I think maybe it was the last episode we talked about it, that they confirmed that there weren't any production issues, at least on the mm-hmm. episodes for 1 and 2 that they showed. I don't know if they were talking about the whole season or just the ones from the pre-screening. I hope that is the case all the way through because it's incredible. That's the work that they did. It really, really is incredible. And I think the stuff that they talked about with Puro Films, making this a brand new studio and really putting their heart and soul into Bleach, you can tell.
Yeah,
you can tell.
You can tell it's love.
And I think the action scenes we got, even though they were short, I think they had some great fucking cinematic choreography I thought was good. I know Kubo is like hand and fist involved in this now, which is also super, super cool. I had an insanely good time watching this episode.
I have one complaint, and that is exclusively based off of what we were talking about last time that you made into a clip. I just wanted to know how his Bankai worked. And I am still, I am just as clueless now as I was when we recorded that.
Duff.
We just got a sick ass dance and song.
I have a question that relates to that in Pythi. Yeah. So you talked about in one of the clips that we did, how does Ichibei's Bankai work?
Yeah.
Now I'm going to ask the reverso question. Will there ever be a chance after this arc? Will we ever see Squad Zero again? Like, what are our chances of ever seeing their powers? Because I'm thinking of the next arc, right? The next arc we know is the Hell arc, right? That's going to happen. And it's gonna be... But the Squad Zero, by design, they do not leave the Soul Palace. Like, that is by design. Their guard is to be their job is to be the royal guard of the king, the soul, you know, the Soul King. So they have no fucking business showing up in Hell. They have zero, unless somehow Hell tries to take over the Soul King again. Then that's three arcs in a row that try to take over the Soul King. I don't know if that's gonna happen, but we're never gonna get to see any of the other Bankais from the members of the.
No, family. I was just thinking about what their Bankais would look
it's
like.
It's just not gonna happen. Yeah. I just don't think there's ever gonna be an opportunity that we see it unless we go like back in time. We get stories of another time. I don't even know when they would fit that in.
My thought is probably not. I don't think we're ever going to see the Bankais again. I don't think we're going to see them again unless they adapt Can't Fear Your Own World.
Yeah, but even in Can't Fear Your World, like, they're just there kind of a, like, a character introduction.
Yeah,
piece,
they were only,
you know,
there in the beginning.
They're there to explain a little bit of the lore, the verify a little bit of Tokunaga goodness, and then move on from there.
Fuck Tokunaga, that bitch.
Yes, yeah. You know what? I could see there being a scene in the Hell arc with Ichibe, like, eating a sandwich going, oh, man, that stuff in Hell's pretty crazy, and that's it.
Yeah, he just
and
comes
then
back
he
for a quick little Toki narration.
Tokunaga's there.
Yeah.
And he calls Tokunaga, bitch.
So I have a question. Let's say Tokunaga, he goes through the cycle of reincarnation, right? He goes through, he does the classic, like, Soul Reaper captain. His Reiatsu is not strong enough for him to go straight to Hell, right? It's just not going to happen.
No, I don't think so, right?
He's pretty strong. I think they do it for all, like, captain level people.
But I think
he wasn't captain level, was
well,
he?
Well, so here's what I wonder, and I don't exactly remember. Maybe somebody in the comments can clarify it for us. I know there was a part where they were fighting Tokunaga while he. This is spoilers for Can't Fear World, by the way. Heads up, Tokunaga.
You should just watch our video.
Yeah, watch our podcast. If you've seen it, you know all about Can't Fear World. At the very end, Tokunaga is using his sword and he's using other people's Zanpakutos. And one of the saving graces they said about him using other Zanpakutos is that his Reiatsu and his spiritual pressure is not as strong. So the Zanpakutos are scaling to his spiritual pressure, and that makes it not as bad. And they were specifically talking about someone like Aizen, though, which I think skews the perspective a little bit, where Aizen's power is not as strong in Tokunaga's hands because he's weaker. Now Aizen is insane, like top two or three in the verse, so that's hard to compare to. Is Tokunaga captain level with his Reiatsu on his own? Would he get sent to Hell? That's the question.
I mean, they never did the ceremony for him, I don't believe, so he probably never went to Hell that way. I'm sure he definitely made it to Hell because he's a piece of shit.
Yes.
But also, like, don't forget, in that fight, Tokunaga's using, like, 90 different Zanpakuto abilities while also using Kyokusuigetsu at the same time.
Yeah.
So he got to be kind of crazy.
Okay. Yeah. So I think he would. I think he would qualify. I think.
Good. I hate that bitch.
He gave a good fight also to, like, Shunsui and everybody. So he gave a decent fight. So he could definitely put up a fight with a captain. So I think he would probably qualify for the sorry, dog, you're going straight to Hell sort of statue. But he would also just qualify for Hell, as Pythi said, because he's an asshole.
Fuck that bitch, Tokunaga.
Fuck that. You saw that guy in the comments.
Yeah.
Episode was so good, boys.
I'm so excited.
I'm so happy that
Bleach
opener. Saturdays is back. It's so good. There was so much happening all day today. Like, Bleach was popping off fucking everywhere. It was so much fun. We got two new illustrations from Kubo. He's continuing his trend of doing death paintings. So the one that we see here behind us, if you're watching the video, is Ichibe. Then we have one of Senjimaru, which is super cool as well. Also dripped out. Love it. Kubo's art is always fucking incredible.
So fucking good.
What else did we get? We got the Bleach 20th anniversary movie. Did you guys watch it?
Yes.
Yeah, it was okay.
So are we getting a remake?
No. So it was very interesting to watch in real time because I was at work and I was also on Twitter trying to stay, because a lot of people, like, I logged in Twitter and I saw people going like, oh my God, Viz Media is teasing a big announcement. Like, what could it be? I'm like, oh shit. Okay. About 7 minutes before the episode was going to air. So probably like 7:20, let's give it 10 minutes, 7:20, leaks started to come out and everybody started screaming that a remake was happening, remake. And I was like, you know, from the scenes, like, it so clearly was like jumping all over the place. I was like, I'm not 100% sure that these are remakes. So they're showing screenshots before the movie even came out. So I put out a tweet. I was like, I see everybody screaming remake. I'm gonna wait for official announcement before I fucking say anything, because I just don't know. And, like, even if it is a 20th anniversary movie, I'd still be sick, still be awesome. Turns out it was just a 20th anniversary movie. There's no remake confirmed or anything about that. It is just a, like, redone, like, special tribute, which was super, super cool.
It was gorgeous.
So I thought the animation and the art style was fucking gorgeous. I don't like the art style as much as I would, like, a full bring Bleach art style remake or just Thousand Year Blower as a whole. The art style was, like, super bright and pastel-y, for lack of a better word, which I still thought was very beautiful, but it didn't match Bleach's aesthetic. It reminded me a lot, and now this might be controversial, I don't know what people's opinions on it. It reminded me a lot of the new One Piece remake that's happening with studios, where they made all the characters, like, really bright and really light.
I know what you're talking about.
I don't know what that trend is. I don't know what's going on with that. And they did the same thing kind of in this anniversary movie. I love they played number one.
Yep.
They blasted that shit. We haven't got enough of that in the actual series. Super good. I thought it was movie quality animation. I thought it was really, really pretty. Did anybody notice? This is posted all over Twitter. This is not me that discovered this, but I did show it to everybody when I was streaming earlier today. We were watching the episode. Did you guys notice that there was a scene in the movie that we never saw in the anime? A brand new scene.
No, what scene is that?
Okay. there is a scene. Let me see if maybe I can send this to you, Pythes. I can't. There is a scene in the anime trailer. If you watch it, I think it's right after Ichigo rescues Rukia, and they show like Ichigo back at home, and they're flashing a lot of scenes. There's a scene of Kaien as he is dying on the ground, and a kid Ganju is holding him.
Oh, I did not notice.
Yes,
that.
Yes, a kid Ganju. Jose, I can show you the picture. Let me turn.
I saw. I definitely remember seeing Kaien, but I do not remember that.
Yeah, a kid Ganju is holding Kaien as he's dying, as somebody's approaching him.
Oh my god, I can't believe I missed that.
It showed for just a second,
like a split second.
It was coming on. Okay, I was wrong. It was at the beginning. 18 second mark, Pythes. They start flashing a bunch of scenes on the screen.
Holy,
so you gotta
shit,
watch closely and pause.
There he is.
He's like,
okay,
nice.
Yeah. So that's that comes immediately after so that scene happens, and then it cuts to Rukia in the cell, obviously being sad about that shit. That's good.
I just like that. Yeah.
Man, rip Kaien. He would have been fun to be around.
I know.
He would have been cool.
He would have been really cool to be around. Cool. He is the ace of the Bleach series. He really is.
So if Kaien never died, right?
You hang out with Ace for like 20 episodes before he fucks off.
That's true.
He's the ace of the series. Fucking Kaien comes back like 18 times. He gets referenced. He fucking comes back as the goddamn Weko Mundo arc. Like, it's crazy. I'm into that.
Right?
Arunera.
That wasn't Arunera. Thank you. But what I was thinking, I was like, if Kaien never dies.
Okay, ready?
Do the events of Bleach still take place properly?
Okay, explain your logic here, Jose.
Hold on.
Write me a thesis. Explain.
Hold on.
Walk me down your path.
It was
here,
word vomit because I was just like, but I meant it more of in like, oh, would he know that? Because he's Ishin's brother too, right?
Nephew. Ishin is their nephew. Sorry, uncle.
So assuming that Rukia still gets, you know, goes to Soul Society, gives her powers to the human world, gives Ichigo his powers, and then, you know, Byakuya comes, takes her away. When Ichigo invades, would he know or recognize Ichigo?
He might.
Yeah, it's
honestly, I can't see too much being different because, you know, Rukia was in the world. Rukia was in the world of living because that was just a routine thing that, you know, you had to do as part of Squad 12. Sorry, 13.
Yeah, it was just like a question of word vomit that happened, but it was just like, huh, I wonder if that would ever trigger anything else.
I feel like certain events in Soul Society would have been different. Like, maybe he would have been there fighting to make sure Rukia doesn't get executed earlier. But yeah. In the end, he would probably still show up with Ukitake and Kuraku, and they would blow up the big fire chicken.
That's what I figured. It would be more along that line.
Because, like, you know, you think about the original Bleach, when Ichigo and friends all rush up to save Rukia, they're already loaded with characters. Like, Makimaki was there. Renji. Who else? Chad. Uryu. Tsukushima was there. They were all there helping out throughout the fight.
Tsukushima?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tsukushima
was
there.
He was there the whole time.
From the get go. So
I was like, it's really hard
to think of another character fitting in there. So
he just slipped in Kaien too.
Yeah.
He's like, here you go, guys.
Yeah, that's where we find out Tsukushima was really an old friend of Kaien.
Maybe Tsukushima never slashed me, okay guys?
Didn't Tsukushima tell Byakuya, he's like, oh yeah, don't you remember I was there, I helped you develop your Bankai the whole time?
Yep. And then Byakuya goes like, no, if you're Ichigo's enemy, then you're my enemy
and
too.
Then he just cuts him in half and you're like, holy shit, that was cold.
Anyways, movie, loved it, thought it was amazing, thought it was a beautiful tribute. Really interested by that Kaien scene. I thought it was very cool, but I thought it was a good time through and through. It was short compared to like what the runtime is, because there's like a minute and a half of staff that worked on this thing, which just shows you what a big undertaking it was. Loved it. Cool. Very cool.
It was very reminiscent of the 20th anniversary movie that came out for Fate. I think it was this anniversary.
Okay.
Very big budget. It was I think the Fate one was quite a bit longer, but it didn't have obviously the same good music.
All right. Let's wrap it with the Bleach Rebirth of Souls. The opening movie for the video game has been revealed. Now, I don't know if we talked about this before last time. They officially announced that it's early 2025 that this game is going to come out. So I hope, fingers crossed, that hopefully this comes out right when the anime ends. That seems like that'd be perfect.
So like
for me.
End of January?
Like ride right on the coattails of the anime ending and push this game out. I think that would be perfect.
That'd be so sick.
I think it'd be really, really good, and you could hop on that hype. Have you watched it?
No, I have not actually.
Pythes, have you watched it?
I'm pressing play right now. Also, I noticed that there were already people reacting to it.
Okay, so I want to give my review of the movie. So first of all, it's like an opening video game movie. The visuals aren't anything crazy, anything like that. It has a song, and an English song for the opening. I thought that song was fucking dog shit. I thought that was the worst song I've ever heard. Now, Pythes, I'm going to pause the podcast. Pythes, you listen to it and watch it. And I want you to tell me what you think.
I like that the moon is jizzing. has Orihime been announced as a fighter in this?
No. Mm-mm. I highly, highly implore anybody that hasn't already to go watch this opening. It's so I have some complaints about it. One, as I've stated, the music is fucking horrendous. I don't know who picked that song. I don't know, and I'm so sorry if this is obviously like somebody's band. I'm so sorry, and it's not a front against you guys, but dog shit song. Dog shit. Someone was trying to Mugetsu, one of our fans and other people on Discord, was like, "This is the best Bleach song I've ever heard." I'm like, "What are you listening with your ears closed? Like, what song are we hearing?" And he just said that it reminded him a little bit of Linkin Park. Not even close, Jose. Not even close. I don't know what Linkin Park
wait,
he was listening
wait,
to.
Wait, which era
he
Linkin
was saying
Park?
What I've Done. Is what he was saying. It reminded me of.
That's Minutes to Midnight.
Yeah. Yes.
2006.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. Dog shit song. Horrible. I would never listen to that song a day in my life. The moment I loaded that video game, I'm skipping past the intro now that I know that
now that you know what it is.
The way that they did the intro,
Jose
also,
just,
it's a lot of.
Jose just immediately was like, Minutes to Midnight. All right, got it. I know that song.
So they do this thing in the opening where they like do a lot of camera movements and they zoom in on the models. It's not flattering to the models for the characters.
I think the game looks very pretty in action.
I think it looks really, really good. But they do these camera moves where they get up really close. Like, there's a part where they show Zangetsu, and they zoom into Zangetsu's face. I'm like, ugh.
Is
like,
it just blocky?
It looks gross. It's not flattering. It's not how I would have done it. Also, the opening is 99% Soul Society Rescue Arc content. Like, it's like they do not show anything past that, except for the very end. They like show the logo for the game, Bandai Namco, and then they do a quick flash, like somebody grabbing. They grab Zangetsu, and it looks like Vasto Lord Ichigo's hand grabbing.
Okay.
That's the only, and it's just like a hand, like really quickly grabbing it. That's the only content that we get that shows that it's not only Soul Society Rescue Arc, but I thought the preview, the opening movie was bad. I thought it was not good.
Okay, so I don't think it's the problem with the models. I don't think they got people to mocap the movement, because I'm looking at the part where he was pushing up his glasses, and it just looked like they just had someone like clicking on the model with a mouse to get the hand to move up.
It's just like,
yeah, it was pretty like, I'm so excited for this game. From what I've seen of the gameplay, I think it looks beautiful. I think the gameplay looks like a lot of fun. I think they once again, this is a Bleach thing that they're putting their heart and soul into. They fumbled the bag on this opening. I don't know what the fuck happened. Horrible. I watched it the first time with no sound. I was like, oh, cool. Love it. Like, that's great. And then somebody's telling me, best song I've ever heard.
You're like, well.
Best song. I'm like, let me play this shit. Let's fucking crank it. I was like, this is the most horrendous song that I've ever heard in my life. Like, what the fuck?
I can't wait for my win rate to be in the negatives.
me and you there.
Did you see how they're doing the ranked mode for Dragon Ball Sparking Zero?
Yeah, that's just awesome. So,
it's cool.
They're doing what?
So they are doing, so the way that they do multiplayer for Dragon Ball Sparking Zero, and I believe it's just the ranked mode, every character has a number assigned to their power. So there's some characters that have 10 power, 9 power, 8 power, all the way down to 1. The only character that has a 1 power is Hercules. And you can build a team of up, I believe it's 5 characters you can build a team up to, but the power can only add up to 15.
Oh, that's
so you can
so
choose your 25. Team and combine it into
it was 25.
25. Okay.
25? Okay.
So you can make your team whatever you want, but it cannot exceed 25.
That's pretty cool.
It's cool.
That's
it's
actually
cool
kind of fun.
So you have characters like, an example, like Whis and Beerus that are 10.
Yeah.
You know, like those are up there. I think Super Saiyan 4 is a 9. For both Goku and Vegeta.
What about my boy Gogeta?
I think Super Saiyan Blue for both Gogeta and Vegito are 10s.
Oh, fuck yes.
I think Legendary Super Saiyan Brawly, both versions of Z and Super, I think they're both 9s.
Damn.
That's too low. I think a couple characters like Whis and Beerus are like 15.
Okay, maybe it caps at 15. Maybe I got the numbers wrong. Because, yeah, I do remember seeing it. I'm like, man, you could really have, like, one character with some of these ones. It's cool. It's really cool.
That was so cool.
It's a great idea and a great mechanic to try out. I'm really interested in how it goes. I think it's cool. I think it's great. I think that'd be something really fun.
I saw that they were adding, like, new fusions, too.
Yes.
So I'm like, oh, that looks like so much fun.
Like, I like the idea that you can still do super bullshit teams in casual matches, but if we're doing for real ranked, either build a team you're going to work with or just pick a strong one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just hope for the fucking best.
Just don't let your best character get knocked out right away.
Yeah, could you imagine? Oh my god!
You're just like, I'm just like, all right, I'm quitting.
Someone's gonna break a TV when they pick like Super Saiyan Blue Vegito and it gets killed by Hercules. Oh, the fucking remote's being thrown through the TV. Like, that's gonna be brutal.
I was watching a dude who was like, "Hey, we're putting out the rules for Sparking Zero," and it was stuff like, "Hey, if you both run out of key, call a truce, and you both get to do the cool DBZ moment where you charge up."
Yeah, love
and
it.
And the other rule was, "Hey, if you're playing like Bio, if you're playing Broly or Whis, and someone beats your ass with Hercule, uninstall the game."
Yeah.
I'm gonna buy that. Oh, I need that shit. I need it in my blood.
Comes out this month, right?
The 11th.
Yeah.
I think it's the
11th. Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, no.
That's right around the corner.
I can't buy it.
Super close.
Fuck.
I also can't buy it right now.
Might be my I just don't want to spend the money on it right now.
Oh, I can't. I got to pay the mortgage.
Damn. Hate to see it. Any thoughts on the Bleach movie for the Rebirth of Souls, Pythies?
It was very pretty. That song was boring.
Yep.
But yep. I was also listening to you two talk the whole time, so I will give it a watch on its own.
Nah, don't waste your time. Don't waste time. I got to save you. Just trust me. Don't waste your time. All right. Well, guys, everybody, thank you guys for watching Bleach Boys. Before you go anywhere, let us know what you thought of the premiere of Bleach Thousand Year Blood War Part 3. We do want to give a special shout out to our patrons, our singular one right now, PV. Thank you so much for your support. If you guys want to join the Patreon, link will be in the description, patreon.com/weebsguild. Of course, if you haven't already, make sure you guys join our Discord. There is an exclusive secret Discord channel only for Patreons. And then follow us on Twitter. It's typically the best place to keep up to date with what we are doing on a day-to-day basis. With that, we're wrapping the podcast. It is over. Now, if you are a member of the Patreon as well, you are going to get a super special secret extra 15 minutes of the podcast. We have an interview with the voice actor of Ichigo and Uryu, Morita and Sugiyama, where they talk about some really cool behind the scenes of Bleach Thousand Year Blood War. There's one in particular that I think is so cool, but we're going to save that for the Patreon exclusive. Thank you guys for watching. We will see you guys next Sunday for another Bleach Boys. I hope you guys have a great week. We will see you then. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
It can get lonely climbing Mount McKinley, so to entertain myself, I go to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, I can play hundreds of online casino-style games for free, like online slots, bingo, slingo, and more. Plus, I get a daily login bonus. It's just too bad that up here, I don't have anyone to share my excitement with. Woohoo!
Woohoo!
Live the Chumba life anytime, anywhere. Play for free now at ChumbaCasino.com.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.